I believe that I'm going to look into some of the signs of the coming of the Lord and see what the Word says about it. We've read already several times, I think, Matthew 24, or at least part of it. But I want to break it down and look into some of these individual things here that the Lord is talking about. Let's just focus on this one little part right here. Verses 6 through 8, Matthew 24. For many shall come, I'm starting in verse 5. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deception, of course, is going to be one of the signs, but it's too much to cover today. I mean, I started looking into this deception, and my goodness, there must be 3, 4, 5, 6 messages. The Bible is full of it. It's full of warnings. I mean, if you don't start looking, you don't realize how much the Lord is warning us of these things. So then we come down to verse 6. It says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right, so verse 6 is wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, and nation shall rise against nation, that's wars, isn't it? And kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Amen. We'll stop at that point. We talked about the meaning of beginning of sorrows. Doesn't just mean the beginning of people becoming sad. The word actually means the beginning of birth pangs. So in other words, if it's the beginning of sorrows, it's going to end up somewhere. Something is going to come forth out of this, okay? For the world, what's going to come forth out of this is going to be disaster. Amen. For us who are Mount Zion, if you claim to be a Mount Zion person, a sons of God, the first fruits company, the man child is what's going to come forth out of these travails, because when Zion travails, she shall bring forth. Okay, so for each one, there's going to be something that's going to come to a maturity. And I was reading in Luke, I think the other day, it says, and as soon as the crop, I'll kind of translate to my paraphrase, as soon as the crop was ripe, immediately he putteth in the sickle and brings in the harvest. Now, he's saying that again in two different aspects, because in the one, he was talking about the precious seed of the Word. When the seed of the Word is mature in his sons, immediately he's going to bring it into the harvest. But also when we find over in Revelation, I think it's chapter 9, where the angel is saying, put in the sickle and bring in the grapes. And it's the grapes of wrath is what he's going to bring in, because it's ripe. And he said, put it into the wine press and tread the wine press, and the blood begins to flow. So there's two kinds of harvest and two kinds of a bringing forth. Amen. So I want to take two more witnesses here before we leave this part in wars and rumors of wars, because there are actually three gospel witnesses that say almost the same thing. You're probably more used to hearing me quote Matthew 24, but Mark and Luke are just as reliable, and they say the same thing. It's just that it seems to be a little more concentrated here in Matthew 24. Let me read it in Mark chapter 13, okay? Mark chapter 13. I've been ignoring poor brother Mark here a lot. And we'll go to verse 5. You see, the disciples were asking in verse 4. He said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So these are the signs, all right, what Jesus is saying. Now, he goes a lot more than what we're going to talk about today. But here are the signs. And Jesus answered them saying, take heed lest any man deceive you. Okay, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Boy, if Mark is quoting Peter, he's quoting exactly the same thing. All right? Peter heard it the same way that Matthew heard it. It says, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. So in other words, it isn't just wars, but it's rumors. There's talk about wars, all right? Rumors start sometimes before wars get started, don't they? Somebody starts a little quarrel with somebody with words. Amen. And be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end is not yet. And nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, beginning of birth pangs again. Now, you notice he mentions earthquakes, okay? The funny thing is, I think we can just lump all these things into natural disasters. Even though he doesn't specifically say floods, he doesn't specifically say hurricanes or tornadoes or what do they call them out in the Pacific? Typhoons, yeah. By the way, the word typhoon comes from one of their ancient demons called typhus or something like that, which is where the disease gets its name, too. Terrible, terrible disease. One of our dear teachers at the school, her husband died of typhoid fever. And I think she lost a child, too. God bless her. She's a dear little teacher. We love her very much. So that was Mark. Now let me take you to Luke, because I want you to hear these witnesses, and then I'm going to give you the documentation. All right, Luke 21. We'll start in verse 8. And again, we'll go to verse 7. They ask him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? Sounds like word for word, doesn't it? Okay. And he said, take heed that know that ye be not deceived. It means the same thing. That no man deceive you, that be not deceived. How are you going to be deceived? You'll be deceived by men. Men will deceive you. I mean, the stars won't deceive you. The moon won't deceive you, but men will. Amen? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Oh, you added it right in here. Go ye not after them. Are people doing that? You know what? Don't people read the Bible? Why do we go after them? We're going after men. Amen. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions. Oh, this is a little different. Wars and commotions. What would commotions include? Would that include riots in the streets? How many of you remember the 1960s? You probably don't, Brian. You weren't around.
I was in the soft boxes back then.
Yeah. Were you in America during the 1960s?
I was born there around that time.
So you don't remember much about the... You don't remember the riots? Newark, New Jersey? Patterson, New Jersey? Michigan? Detroit, Michigan? Where else was it famous?
The school college campuses.
Well, it was... The worst of it was in the cities, though. The big, ugly inner cities. Big-time riots. Yes, and it was on college campuses, too. That's when the National Guard shot the students at, what was that place in Ohio?
Penn State.
Oh, Kent State, yeah. This is included in these commotions. Now, you think it's all over? We're never going to have any more riots? We're never going to have any more of that kind of thing? The government's always going to just handle everything with kid gloves again? I don't think so. I don't think it's over. You know, Brother Campbell, God bless him, he gave some prophecy that these things are coming back. He saw it. And they are coming back, brethren. You know, sister was asking me why I don't trust the cities. Sister Reed on the way here this morning. Why don't I trust the cities? Because, well, cities are no... Yeah, she made a good point. Are people in the cities more wicked than people in the countries? No, I don't think so. I think people in the country, there's wickedness out there too. But you know, some of this this evil gets going. It feeds itself more, I think, when people are congregated more together. And these spirits seem to be better able to work on people when they can get them all together and agree one another. I mean, a farmer that lives a mile away from the next farm, he isn't likely to get in cahoots with a neighboring farmer. He's too busy tending his fields and his cows and that type of thing. It doesn't mean his heart is right toward God, okay? So when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. So where does the word terror come from again? Terror. Terrified. Terror means fear, doesn't it? In other words, don't be afraid. Be not terrified. For all these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places. That divers doesn't mean where divers go down in the ocean, although there are earthquakes down there. The word is diverse. Many various places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, etc., etc. Okay. How many times have you heard that verse read in your lifetime? Or have you read it?
273 times.
Okay, very good answer, Larry. You've got them all marked down. Yes, at least that many times, probably. Now, I got wondering, and I said, Lord, is this really true? How many can you remember in your lifetime? When you say wars and rumors of wars, what do you remember? What do you know? Just let your mind scan through. What do you think of?
Little wars, not world wars.
You don't remember the world wars, do you?
Well, I was born after.
Yeah.
But little boys that have been in Vietnam, in the Middle East.
Yeah, Vietnam, Afghanistan.
Idi Amin.
Yeah.
Terrorists.
All right. I went to the computer. I thought I'm going to find out what happened. I looked up the 1900s, and I thought I'm going to look up the 1800s too. The 1800s, by the way, is the 19th century. I went to Wikipedia and I thought, well, I'll just copy it. I scroll down, 42 pages. And that's just a list. That's not a summary. It's just a list. 42 pages of wars in the 1800s. Let me read a little bit on this list, okay? And by the way, that was before the War of Independence in America, which was 1775 or whatever, 76, War of 1776. That was America and Britain, all right? By the way, I think they were going on just like this in the 1700s. There was wars all over the place. 1600s. You go back and read 1500s. There were wars going on. But are these sorrows increasing in intensity? Are they increasing in the amount of lives that are being lost? You know, the biggest loss of life war ever was the Second World War.
Yeah.
And the one next to, by the way, they count them in the millions. I'll give you those figures. And the next highest would be World War I. Millions. They said, one of them said 3% of the world population was wiped out in some of those wars. It's a lot of people. And yet when I read in Revelation that one third of the world population is going to be decimated means only 10%. Did you know that? Decimated. The word decimated means 10%. So it was decimated. And sometimes people say it was decimated when really it was more than that. All right, let me give you the list here. Can you bear with me a little bit? This is the 1799. Guess who was making all the trouble in the early 1800s? Good old Napoleon. The French man with an ego the size of the world. Little old France. They thought they were going to rule the whole world. Napoleon. So he got all these French, and they were going everywhere fighting everybody. So the first Napoleonic War, 1799 to 1802, that was France fighting Austria, Russia, Turkey, United Kingdom, Portugal, and Naples. France fighting everybody. And then in 1803, so they had apparently took a year off or something, half a year, Napoleon gets at it again. France against United Kingdom, Russia, Holy Roman Empire, and Sweden. So they're fighting again. And that lasted until 1806. Then a little, that was the third. Oh, I missed the first one. There must have been one before in the late 1700s. All right. Fourth Napoleonic War. France against Prussia, UK, Russia, Saxony, Sweden, and Sicily. Saxony and Prussia are both part of Germany, I think. Germany must not have been united in those days. Well, France coming against it. All right, now here we go. Another Napoleonic War. France against Spain, Portugal, and United Kingdom. They always got England in there. They're always trying to fight them off. Another one. Here's another one. 1809. Oh, this one didn't last very long. Fifth coalition, Napoleon. France against Austria, UK, Spain, Sicily, Sardinia, and Brunswick. Oh, then Chile. Chile wanted independence against Spain. So that was 1810 to 1818. That took quite a while. 1811, Peru. Peru, Argentina, Colombia, they all wanted to be free of Spain. Venezuela, they got in the act. Part of the South American Wars of Independence. We're only a quarter of the way through the 1800s, by the way. Here's another Napoleonic War that came up. 1812 to 1814. France again against Austria, Prussia, Russia, UK, Sweden, Spain, Portugal, Sardinia, Sicily. Apparently they thought they could beat everybody. That must have been when Napoleon got conquered. It must have been his Waterloo then. I don't see any more Napoleon wars. War of 1812 in America. You know your history about that. French invasion of Russia. Oh, the French are at it again. Oh, another Napoleonic War. I thought they were over with. Now we come to America, 1816 to 1818, the first Seminole War. U.S. against the Seminole and runaway slaves. I never remember hearing about that one. That was in Florida. Then 1832, Black Hawk War. Beginning of the Indian Wars. U.S. against Sac Fox, whoever that was. 1835 to 1842, Second Seminole War. U.S. against the Seminole. That was the Seminole Indians of Florida. They tell me they were the only Indians that never were totally defeated, that they never formally surrendered. Yeah. Then in the early 1840s, you've got the first Afghan War. Did you know that? It was an Afghan War way back in the 1840s. It was the British Empire against the Afghans. And right after that, the British and British India against China. You know what that was called? The first Opium War. They're fighting over opium. New Zealand Wars, 1840 to 1870, British Empire against M-A-O-R-I, Maori Wars. Yeah. First Anglo-Sikh War, British Empire against the Sikh Empire. That's 1845-46. What is the Sikh? Is that the Indian?
Sikh?
No, Sikh.
The Sikhs would be in India.
S-I-K-H, yeah. That would be people in India.
Or Pakistan, India.
You see, the British had their empire all over the place. And these people started wanting to be free of the British. And so the British fought everyone. You see these old movies that they make of these old Jane Austen movies. The British were all, I mean, they had their soldiers always going off here and going off there and fighting a war in some far distant place. And these are wars. Mexican-American War, U.S.-Mexican War, 1846-1849. So some of the people in the Civil War, some of these generals and colonels and what have you, They fought together in that war. Then when they got to the Civil War, they were on opposite sides. First War of Italian Unification. Yeah, Italy used to be all broken up into little places. They had some big war, and I guess they united in the 1848-49. Here's another Anglo-Sikh War in 48-49, Anglo-Burmese War, Britain against the East India Company against Burma. What do they call Burma now? It has a new name. Myanmar or something like that? Yeah. Okay, here's the Crimean War. How many of you remember hearing about the Crimean War? This is where Florence Nightingale made her fame. You know where the Crimea is, by the way? Come on, everybody. It's in eastern Ukraine. Do you know what's happening in the Crimea right now? The Russians have taken it away from Ukraine. And the Russians have got all their tanks there now, and they've claimed it for themselves. Their war is... This is 1856. It's going on again. There's never any peace. Third Seminole War. My goodness. They're always fighting the Seminoles. Second Opium War. They call it the Arrow War. Britain and France against China. What, China must have had the monopoly on opium or something.
Of course, shoving it in there. Slowed down.
You're the historian, aren't you, John?
Well, they were bringing the stuff into them.
Oh, I see.
Roosevelt's got their money running it for the slipper ships.
I see. Okay.
And they were feeding the people that to dope them up to move in on them. They figured it out. They tried to stop them like the Boxer Rebellion.
Here's another Italian war, 1859. France against Sardinia and Sardinia against Austria. Oh, American Civil War. You know that, 1861 to 18... Dakota War, Little Crow's War, part of the Indian Wars. So after the Civil War, all these Indian Wars, Little Crow's War, Colorado War, which is an Indian War against the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, and the Sioux, the Paraguay. Paraguay wants independence now, against Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay. A Black Hawk War, U.S. against Navajo, Apache. Red Cloud War, against U.S. against the Lakota, the Cheyenne, and the Arapaho. Austro-Prussian War, Germany fighting with themselves, I guess. Third War of Italian Unification. Boy, it took a long time to unify Italy, didn't it? They had to have three wars. B-O-S-A, Boshan War, that's Japan fighting some other part in Japan, I guess. A Franco-Prussian War, that's France and Germany again. Red River War, this is Comanche, Kiowa, Cheyenne, and Arapaho Indians. Another 1876, this is another Indian War, Lakota, Cheyenne, Arapaho. Maybe that's where Custer got killed or something. Little, what they call it, Wounded Knee, Little Bighorn. Serbo-Turkish War, Serbia against the Ottoman Empire. Oh, now we're getting all these wars against the Ottoman Empire. Russo-Turkish War. Here's another Indian War, 1877. Nez Pence. Second Anglo-Afghan War. Anglo-Zulu War. This is the British down there against the Zulu. What country is Zulu now? Where are the Zulu? Is that Kenya or Tanzania? That's Tanzania, isn't it? Where the Zulu people are. Pacific War, Peru, Bolivia, Chile, Boer War, B-O-E-R, that's South Africa, British fighting again, losing their South Africa, China, North Vietnam, Tonkin War. This wasn't the beginning of the Vietnam War, this is another one, this back in the 1800s. Mahdist, Sudan against British Empire, Egypt, Belgium, Italy, Ethiopia. Sino-Japanese, that's the Chinese against the Japanese. Spanish-American War and the Second Boer War. That's the 1800s. Okay? And by the way, that was 42 pages, and there's really more. They don't even mention them all in this list. Bear with me, brethren. I just say... wars and rumors of wars, you just read that and you say, oh, all I remember is one or two of them. I remember Vietnam, you know. There was a Second World War. Come on, there was far more than the Lord knew. All right, here's the 1900s. Let me read the first paragraph here. What was the deadliest war of the 20th century? 1900s, that's the 20th century. That's when some of us were born. It says the largest and bloodiest war of the 20th century and of all time was World War II. The conflict lasted from 1939 to 1945, involved most of the planet. When it was finally over, more than 60 million people were dead. 60 million. What's the population of New York? Well, you know, it's probably less than 60 million. The population of the U.S. used to be 200 million. I think it's more than that.
330.
Yeah. 60 million. Of that enormous group, which represents about 3% of the entire world population at that time, the huge majority, over 50 million, were civilians.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
World War I was also bloody, with 8.5 million military deaths, plus an estimated 13 million civilian fatalities. If we were to add in the deaths caused by the 1918 influenza epidemic, by the way, that took more than it did soldiers, the flu epidemic. And by the way, Jesus said there will be pestilence. If the flu epidemic isn't pestilence, I don't know what is, which was spread by returning soldiers at the end of the World War I, the total would be much higher, since the epidemic alone was responsible for 50 to 100 million deaths. The third would be the 20th century, the Russian Civil War, which caused the deaths of 9 million people. Unlike the two world wars, however, the Russian Civil War did not spread across Europe or beyond. Rather, it was a struggle for power. Following Russia's revolution, it pitted the Bolsheviks, headed by Lenin. By the way, when these politicians are talking about how they want socialism, listen up, guys. This is what socialism did to Russia. This is just the beginning. This is Lenin and Marx trying to push their socialism upon the people of Russia. Oh, and that isn't all that happened. There was a terrible famine in Russia that wiped out millions. The Russian Civil War was over 14 times deadlier than the American Civil War. and the American Civil War saw the death of 620,000 people. Far the deadliest war in the history of the United States. Second deadliest war in terms of American deaths was World War II. 405,000, that's almost 500,000 Americans, American men that were sent to Europe, died. Here's a list. Boxer Rebellion, Boer War, Russia, Japanese, Mexican Revolution, Balkan Wars, World War I, Armenian Genocide, Russian Revolution, Russia Civil War, Irish War of Independence, Chinese Civil War, the Holocaust. The Holocaust, by the way, is separate from World War. The millions that died in the Holocaust. That's not counted in the war. They were just slaughtered. Italian War, Spanish Civil War, World War II, Cold War, Chinese Civil War, Indochina War, Korean War, French Algerian War, Sudanese Civil War, Suez Crisis, Cuban Revolution, Vietnam War. Oh, here we go. Six-Day War. You remember the Six-Day War? Mm-hmm. Soviet-Afghan War. Another war in Afghan. Now it's the Soviets. After that it's the Americans. And then who? Iran-Iraq War. That went on for 8 years. Persian Gulf War. Third Balkan War. Rwandan Genocide. This doesn't even list them all. Now, go to the 21st century. And that's us. I can only find the first 10 years. Nobody's listing anything after 2011. Still going on. Let me just give you a little list. Remember the Chechenian War? War of Terror, Taliban, Afghanistan, Iraq War, Northwest Pakistan War, Russia, Georgia War. Yeah, Russia went to war against their own Georgia. The Gaza Strip Wars. Somalia, Ethiopia against Al-Qaeda, Mahabajin, Boko Haram, that's Nigeria, that war going on. Tunisian War, Egyptian Revolution, Yemeni Revolution, Libyan Civil War, Syrian Civil War, Gaza War again, War of Ukraine, that war in Ukraine isn't over yet. The Russians are still there with their tanks. And another Yemeni civil war. All right, those are wars. What about disasters? Okay. They're listed in order of how bad they were. This is the 20th century, by the way. I didn't go beyond that. Nobody has very good. The Soviet Union in 1932... There was a famine. It included some of Europe, but you know how many people died in that famine? 1932. 5 million. 5 million. This thing had to touch every family. You know, when I was in Ukraine, you were there with me, Rita. Remember, we talked to some of the people, and they told about the terror that their families had gone through. There was not one family, not one Christian family that we knew that hadn't lost from the conflict with Russia, the Soviets. They had not lost somebody murdered in their family because of that, because of Stalin. There was not one family that we talked to. Oh yes, it was Uncle so-and-so. My father's brother so-and-so. They came in. You know, the one brothers were saying that the Soviet was, it was their own people too that were doing it to them to try to get them into the battle. They came into one of the meetings, just like we're meeting here today. They burst into the meeting. The soldiers came in and they said, they looked at the young men. They look at you and they say, you. You're going to fight with us. You're going to join our military. We're going to fight thus and thus. If the men said no, bam. All right, any more volunteers? No. And the people, this happened in their families. You need to go. I have the testimony of this old man named Red. He was 85 years old when I interviewed. Were you with me when I interviewed him? You weren't. I guess I went alone with Brother Campbell that time. Interviewed this old man. He had been in the in World War II. He had been a soldier, and he'd been taken captive in Poland. And by the way, Rita and I are going to Europe, and I'm going to try to get into Poland. I've been there before, but I'm going to try to get to Auschwitz. I asked the brethren, will you take me up to Auschwitz? I want to see it. I want to be there. They say that you can still, in the spirit, you can still hear the cries of the people. You can still smell the smells, spiritually, if not naturally. It's still there. I want to see it with my eyes. Amen? Where was I before I went to there?
Russia and Stalin.
Oh, yeah. So, I was talking about Red. His name, they called him Red. I don't know what his real name was. His son-in-law was one of the elders in that big Pentecostal church. Well, I don't know. Maybe he was a deacon. I don't know. But he was something in that church. And Oksana, the translator, went with me. I recorded it. It's all on the... And it's been translated. I got Tanya to translate it so that you can read the type. It's all been typed out. And this man wept and cried and wept and cried at the way he'd been mistreated. And when the Second World War was over, they had a prison camp in Poland. And they said, okay, the war's over. You can go home now. No bus, no train, walk. And all these prisoners now, they had to walk to wherever it was their home. He had to walk all the way. And of course, people didn't treat them all very nice on their walk home. So he got home and married a wife and began to have a couple children. And no more than that. And now the conflict between Ukraine, they call it the Banditas and the Stalinists. Stalin wants all these people. Stalin wants all these men in their war. And the Ukrainians were saying, oh, no, you're not. By the way, that's not listed. It's just listed as Russian Civil War. He says, no, we're not going to fight for you. We are going to be our own country. But Stalin, he had an ego like Napoleon. Hitler. I mean, these guys, egomaniacs. And by the way, you know, this idiomine, that wasn't listed here. The one you mentioned. It's not listed. Idiomine, how many people did he kill in Uganda? He's called the Butcher of Uganda. Yeah. These are wars, brethren. Oh, they mentioned the Rwandan genocide.
Oh, that's
yeah, that's listed. Yeah. But, so this poor man and his brother, they knew what was happening. And they said, we're not going to be taken. And so they found a hole in the ground, like a woodchuck hole. They went down under the ground and they're living down there. People bringing them food, because whoever got to them first would take them. If the Ukrainians got to them first and they refused. And by the way, old Red said, now I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do that anymore. He must have found the Lord after World War II, after being in that Polish prison camp. Maybe somebody like you, Larry, maybe somebody else in that camp said, hey, are you born again? And it changed the man's life. He said, I'm not going to war anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to kill people anymore. So if the Banditas came and you refused, bam, they shoot you. If the Stalinists came and said, we want you in our war, and they said, we refuse, Stalin was more practical. Stalin said, okay, you refuse? Fine, I'll put you in a prison camp for 10 years. 10 years. You can cut wood, you can mine, you can do whatever. I'll send you into Siberia somewhere. Yeah, Stalin didn't just shoot them. Stalin going to work them to death. And how many people are going to live through those prison camps? Not many. Not many people survive those prison camps. You guys want to read a good book sometime? Get a hold of the book called The Long Walk. It was written, I forget the guy, Rawicz or something, a Polish man. Man, this name ends with an I or something like that, like my name. I'm not Polish, but my name ends in an I too. The Long Walk, where these men escaped from a Siberian prison camp way up north of that Lake Baikal. And by the way, that lake is, I think, bigger than Lake Superior. Big, big lake way up in Siberia, way up north of there. Him and a bunch of other guys escaped. They picked up a few people on the way, walked all the way to India. And that is when the British still had India. Walked across the Himalayas, lost half their people. There was a girl joined them somewhere in southern Siberia that she escaped from something, and she was with them for a while. She couldn't make it across the Gobi Desert. Read that book. You want to see how people have suffered. Brethren, we have no idea. We have no idea what tribulation is. We have not been through. In our generation, you don't know what people went through in World War II. People in Europe. My mother used to tell me, eat your beans, son. There's poor people in Europe that would love to have some food. One day I said, Mom, why don't we just send it over to them? Must have been something I didn't like to eat. No, but read, get a hold of these stories. Women that had to collect potato peels that were thrown out, lived on skins and peelings and this type of thing to barely survive because there was no food. Because it was a war. My God. Hallelujah. Alright, natural disasters. We talked about the Russian famine. 5 million. China. Oh, here's a flood in China. 1931. 3.7 million. You don't hear about these. Here's a drought in China. 3 million. An epidemic in Europe. 1914. Oh, we know what this is. 3 million. Another one in the Soviet Union. An epidemic. 2.5 million. China. Another flood. 2 million. India. An epidemic. 2 million. Bangladesh. Almost 2 million. China again. 1.5 million. India. 1.5. You wonder where this Mao Zedong. Remember Mao Zedong? The Cultural Revolution?
Oh, yes.
You know, they just killed people. Just kill them. I mean, when a million and a half people die of a flood, they say, oh, people aren't worth anything. Just bang, bang, bang. You don't want to agree with us? Did I tell you what Martin told me about what they're doing in China now? They've got cameras everywhere. Even out in the country. Cameras. And They mark you. What is your political beliefs? What is your religious beliefs? All right, they're nice now. They don't kill you, but they mark you. You go to the bus station. You want to buy a ticket to go somewhere? You're not allowed to travel because you're not politically correct. You don't believe groupthink. Groupthink. And by the way, that's what some of these churches are doing to people. They put them under groupthink. You have to get in these small groups. And there's a moderator that's in charge of these groups. And they tell you how to think. And if you raise up questions, you're shunned by the other people. The pressure that they put on you, you have to think the way the boss wants people to think. That's how these mega churches are operating, by the way. Same way the old Mao, same way the Chinese. I mean, using the same old methods. Stalin, Yeah, they would question people about how that. Everybody in Russia was afraid. Everybody, even the highest people in the highest political realms. I got a hold of that book. Who was the famous guy? The Solzhenitsyn. Did you ever read his book? The guy died in Vermont. He got old and died. Solzhenitsyn. What was really going on in Russia? Everybody was afraid of everybody. Bangladesh. I went through that. India. 1.3, 1.25 million. Another epidemic. 1.25. Soviet Union. 1.2. This is 1921. Ethiopia. 500,000. China, again, a drought, 1920, 500,000. That's famine, isn't it? A drought? That's famine, isn't it? China, India, 500,000 each time. Bangladesh, that's India. Ethiopia, India. China, Ethiopia, Uganda, China. Sudan, Japan, China, Bangladesh, Soviet Union, China. China, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Niger, Italy. Oh, Italy had one. When was that? 1908. China, Peru, Africa, somewhere West Africa, don't know where. Three of them there. Bangladesh, another one in China. My goodness, China and India have had a lot of... India, Pakistan, China, India. Oh, here's one in Canada. 1918. Oh, that was the flu epidemic. Guatemala, India, Martinique, Bangladesh. It goes on and on and on. A whole bunch of them here in Niger. That's a Muslim country, and you know where Niger is. I landed there in the airplane one time. Boy, I was really glad for the airplane to take off again. When they land there, I just feel uncomfortable. I'm glad they go again. China, Bangladesh, Soviet Union, Hong Kong, and Nigeria. Okay, now, are these things increasing are they increasing? Oh, wait a minute, here's one more. This year, not the last 10 years, 2011, these are disasters now, okay? The Japan earthquake of 2011, you remember that?
Yeah, with that milk thing.
Mm-hmm.
Still all, the water's all poisoned over there anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Haiti earthquake. By the way, do you know how many people were affected by the Haiti earthquake? 3.4 million. Didn't say they all died. Sichuan. Where's Sichuan? They got names here I've never heard of. Over 4 million. Java. Earthquake. 3 million. Kashmir. 5 million. Hurricane Katrina. 500,000. That's right here in America. Mumbai floods, South Asian tsunami, BAM earthquake. Oh, they're giving the European summer of extreme heat. They're putting that here as a natural disaster. Heat wave, Dresden floods, another earthquake somewhere I've never heard of. And by the way, you know what's going on out in Nebraska and Iowa right now?
Yes, terrible weather.
We talked to Brother Gordon, we talked to Marge, and Marge told us that, you remember Sister Fern? You maybe never met Fern. She's an old woman. She's one of the first that heard Brother DeCille. They had to take her out of her house with a helicopter. She lives right by the Platte River. And they told us that this, we've seen the pictures, this massive, and Marge told us that she thought that it was probably the worst flood that's ever been recorded in Nebraska, the Missouri River drainage, that area. It's still happening, brethren. Still happening. Yeah, we complain about our snowstorms, don't we? I want to kind of finish here. I want to draw you a little something. But now I want you to beware lest no man deceive you, okay? Because here's where they're deceiving you today. Is there an increase in these things? Is it really increasing? All right? Yes, it is. But the explanation that they're going to give you, the unbelieving scientists, they're going to believe you, oh, it's all man-made. Now, let me draw you a little graph here. I found this graph. You see how the lines go up? Okay. So this is a graph. This is 500%. This is 100 down here. 100%. Somewhere right around here would be 300. And somewhere around here would be 200. Okay, this year here is 1980. And over here is 2010. All right, now, the first line here is earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanoes. Has that increased? Yes. But only by 150%. This would be 150 here. All right, that's earthquakes. So yes, there are. Jesus said there would be earthquakes. And by the way, I have seen some terrible earthquakes. I was living in Alaska, Good Friday, 1967. No, it was 64. Yeah. It was the flood of 67. I was in Fairbanks. Okay? Those earthquakes are terrible, terrible. It was one of the most powerful earthquakes in the Western Hemisphere. One of the most powerful. It was almost 9. Okay? Bear with me, brethren. Now, what about other things? I can't tell these colors very well. Okay, this one here, I'll use blue, I guess. This one here is storms. Okay. This one here, I'll use green, is floods. No, floods are last. This is drought, forest fire, what have you. And this one would be storms. Oh, floods. Floods. Yeah, floods. Now, what they're doing is these little lines going like this, and what they're doing is they're averaging these off. So, yes, statistically they're increasing. Now, be not deceived. Why? Do you know what they're telling you? The scientists are telling you?
Global warming.
In other words, we caused it ourselves. We need to. What is this woman from New York City that's in Congress now? We need to get rid of all airplanes. Get rid of cows because cows pass gas. And, I mean, in other words, we are doing it. Come on, brethren, be not deceived. Read the Bible. What did I just read? What did Jesus just say? He said, these are the beginnings of sorrows. In other words, birth pangs are sorrows. They increase in intensity. They increase in frequency. Yes, I expect the graph to begin to showing increase. Now, this is 2010. That's almost 10 years ago now. Are they still going up? Well, probably, because this is the trend that they're going. And by the way, since earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis are also increasing, what does global warming have to do with that? Climate change can't change the movement of these tectonic plates that are moving around. It is God that's in charge of these things. Come on. God is in charge of all the weather. Don't you know that? You know He can change it? What was the testimony, that little change that we saw? Oh, it was when I was coming home from the Philippines. The big pattern, it was going to come right smack dab across Schenectady and where we live. Right across. And Rita doesn't have... I tried to tell her how to start the tractor and plow and everything, but she didn't seem to want to be a willing learner. She says, I'll just pray and I'll ask God. So I'm looking at the weather as I'm coming home and I'm saying, oh my goodness, we're going to get a foot of snow. How's Rita going to get the car out to come down to Albany and get me? What am I going to have to do? Hire a taxi to drive me all the way home? So we said, let's pray. We see the direction the thing is coming. What happened to that storm? It bent a little bit. It went south.
Thank you, Lord.
Why?
Thank you, Lord.
Can I say because God didn't hear? I mean, I don't ask God to change the rain just because I don't like rain. But if it's going to be a real problem, I ask Him. Another time, Rita and I were coming in from somewhere overseas. And the big nor'easter was coming right straight up the coast, and they had already canceled the flights from Detroit to Albany, and we prayed about that, and it was supposed to leave a terrible devastation here in the Albany area. Supposed to leave a terrible devastation, and Delta canceled the flights way ahead of time. Well, they put us up overnight, or didn't they put us up? No, we had to sleep in the airport that night, didn't we? I think we did. We found some cushions way down at the lower end of the airport somewhere, found some place to lay down, slept. Next morning, we were on the first flight. You know what happened to the big storm? It made a sudden 90-degree turn before it got to New York. Well, New York City got hit, but it turned and went west, which is very rare for a nor'easter to start suddenly turn and go west. There was no problem. Plane landed without any problem in Albany, New York. No damage, no disaster, no trees down or anything of the sort. Why? Because God is in control. I remember another time, and this is before the days of Rita. I'm at my brother's house up in Lewis County. I'm just telling you, God is in control. It isn't global warming. God is in control. Now, He can stop it, He can turn it, or He can tell you, get out of the way. And if He tells you to get out of the way, then listen to Him. If He tells you that you can ask Him to turn it, He'll turn it. I was at my brother's house. We were just sitting there eating or something. And my wife said to me, time to go. I said, what? She said, yes, the Lord said it's time to go. Get in the car now and go. Now, this is 20 years ago. 25, I don't know, 20, 25. They didn't have all these meteorological things that give you up to the minute on your phone. No, didn't have those in those days. I'm talking like it's 100 years ago. Well, we didn't. She said, let's get in the car and go now. So we got in the car. We started down toward Utica. We turned at around Herkimer. And we began to come east along Route 5. And as I'm coming, you remember, John, you ever been on those turns by the, what's that creek there?
Creek.
No. It's between Poland and, the Canada, West Canada Creek. The West Canada Creek. You can big hairpin turns following that creek. Looking in the rearview mirror, I could see the front of that snowstorm coming. I was watching it. We'd make this turn, and that thing would be on the turn right behind it. It followed me. It followed me like a wolf. And we were coming through Johnstown. And I'm thinking, do we dare stop at Burger King or something, get a bite to eat? The answer was no. Go straight. Keep moving. We lived in Balsam Spa. Got to my house. Had a little garage. Put the car in the garage. Barely got to the door. Vroom! That thing slammed right up against it. Just coming in piles and piles. It was a vicious snowstorm. What was the word? The word was go. Get out of the way. Move now. Now, I believe that God was holding it back. But if I'm going to stop and lollygag in Johnstown and take an hour off and eat, that thing's going to have another 6 inches of snow waiting for me by the time I come out. No, I'm going to keep moving. If the Lord said go, I'm going to go. And this is what we need to do. And brethren, we need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. God will warn us. But we need to take heed to the warning. I'm telling you, brethren, we are going to see. Look, this is the stuff I printed from the internet. I can't possibly begin to digest all this. All I can tell you is what Jesus said is true. Yes. Oh, yes, I got to give you a couple more verses. Why? Why is this happening? Is it because of global warming, or is it because of what Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans? You know what Paul said? Come on. Paul said what? Verse 18. For I reckon the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that is the creation, it should say creation, earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation, that's the earthquakes, the storms, the famine, the bad weather, the tsunamis. It's waiting for what? For the manifestation of us to come forth as sons of God. Amen? For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. This is your answer to climate change. Creation was made subject to vanity. In other words, the condition of mankind. As man gets more and more wicked, more and more sinful, more wars, more rumors of wars, more famine, more pestilence, more earthquakes in diverse places, more storms, more hurricanes. Amen? You know, like Rita said, I don't think there's any place that's more wicked than any other place. But I do find that there are places where the witness of God, the witness of Christianity, has held back these things. We can hold them back. Amen? By faith. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. See, even our own bodies are groaning and travailing, aren't they? What's all this trouble? What's all this old age business? It's bodies groaning and travailing, waiting. What's all this handicap business? Our bodies are groaning and travailing. We want deliverance. Amen? We need it. But there is only one hope, and that is coming forth as the sons of God in the natural. And finish off with 2 Peter chapter 3. And there's so much in so much of 2 Peter is scripture, is spiritual, so I'm not even going to read it all. I'm just going to read one verse, chapter 3, verse 13. I'll just read chapter 12. It's kind of spiritual, but I'll read it. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's both natural and spiritual, by the way. Amen. Nevertheless, here's the verse. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the bottom line. Righteousness. Things are going to change. You're going to see it, brethren, and I'm going to see it with my eyes. Righteousness is going to change the pattern of this earth. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence. Righteousness is going to put an end to that stuff. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me today. I know this was difficult to, and maybe a little bit boring to hear, but God bless you.